Hello, and blessings and happy holidays from Realms Radio. I am so thrilled to be sharing this show with you at this time during this holiday season, wherein I interview author of the book, The Gift Giver, Jennifer Hawkins, who tragically one day woke up in bed to her husband no longer being alive next to her. And this show signposts her journey through creating a new life for herself and ultimately remembering the truth of who she is. And I had such a wonderful time interviewing her. I had lots of powerful insights reading the book. Additionally, I had lots of powerful insights just listening to this show. So I really would encourage you to sit back, to open your heart, to receive, and to let this be whatever it's meant to be in your life. And so I hope you enjoy the show. I'm really, really grateful for you listening. Thank you.
Step into a new realm. Get tools, practical to mystical, through interviews with powerful healers and people who are changing the world. Welcome to Realms of Healing with your host, Gabriel Llewellyn Ari.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Realms of Healing. My name is Gabriel Llewellyn Ari, and I get the astute privilege and honor of being your host for this next hour and helping to bridge all the different realms of healing and showcase really different types of healers and people that are changing the world in some way or really just changing themselves. And I am so excited about this show today. I have with me author Jennifer Hawkins. She is the author of the book, The Gift Giver. And this book is, it is about so many things. It's a true story about my guest, Jennifer Hawkins, who had a wonderful and amazing life with her husband, Mark. And one day she woke up and she found him, she found him dead. Next to her in her bed. And it is a memoir of her really reclaiming her life and dealing with that huge tragedy. So Jennifer Hawkins, welcome to Realms of Healing.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yes.
Great to be here.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here. We have a mutual friend, at least it's a Facebook friend. Her name's Angel Katie, and she told me about this book, and she told me a little blurb about it, and she basically said, Gabe, you have to have her on your show. This book is so great. And she was relentless, and yeah, and I was like, okay, like I just trusted it, and I just contacted you, and now we're here. So thank you, Angel, for that. So Jennifer, I'd love to maybe start off with talking about what the perfect day looked like. And I'd love to read just a little excerpt from your book, if you don't mind.
Sure, yeah.
This is from the very first chapter. As we were lying in bed, a fulfilling sense of peace and warmth came over me. I realized that I felt similarly to the day we had gotten married. Everything felt right. I remembered that day and how the night before a storm had come rolling through the hills. The excitement of our wedding had been as thick in the air as the smell of rain. Now, the joyful anticipation of our future life together rolled through me like a strong, sure current. Mark scooted over, held me for a while, gave me a kiss, and said, "I love you." "I love you too, sweetie." But then he added, "No, I really, really love you." This was the first time he had ever said that in quite that way, and it felt delicious. I looked up at him and said, "I really, really love you too." The last thing I remember thinking before I drifted off to sleep was, "I'm so excited for the next year of our lives. I can't wait to spend it together with this amazing man in our family." Wow, that sounds like a great day.
Yeah, you bring it all back. Whoa. Ooh.
Oh, what was that? What was that day like for you? What was I know we you know, heard a little bit about it, but what was that like experiencing that?
Yeah. Well, so your listeners know, just as a hint, that was actually the last day of his life. And there were so many miracles that day. It was a very different day. He stopped work early. It was in February, early February. It was very cold, but it was a nice day. It was like 60 degrees maybe in the afternoon for some reason. And he quit work early. We rode around the block with the kids on bikes, and it was, he and I even had lunch that day, which was pretty rare, even though we worked together. We worked out of the house together, and you know, that was even last minute. And when we went to lunch, we like talked about all these things about our business that were really vital and important that I needed to know. And, so the day was amazing. I mean, it was one of the happiest days of our marriage, if not the happiest day. And, you know, so it just made everything all the more ironic and just, you know, shocking the next morning. So, yeah.
Oh, so after that day, what happened when you woke up the next morning, if you don't mind describing that?
Yeah, well, you know, it was interesting. I woke up to hearing my son on the monitor. They were 3 and 5. My two boys were 3 and 5 at the time. And my older one was singing in his room, and that's what I heard. So I woke up to my son singing. And I wear earplugs, so my husband had been hunting the weekend before, and so he was really, really tired. And he was still, I thought he was still sleeping. So I kind of snuck out of bed and went to my son's room. And then after a while, they both came in my room. And then I was like, "Well, let's go see if daddy's up." So we actually ran down the hall. They ran down the hall and I followed him. And my son's jumped on the bed with him. And he wasn't moving. He had died several hours later, earlier, I'm sorry. And so it was, they didn't know. They just said, "Hey, mommy, daddy's not moving." And I, of course, had just this, well, my very first thought was he's joking around with them, you know, because that was much more real than anything else that it could be. You know, he joked around with them all the time, and that would have been his nature. And he would have been joking that he was still asleep and then, you know, pop up and surprise him. And, you know, so, but he didn't move. I could tell he didn't move. As I was walking in the room, I looked at him and I could tell something was just off. And I just took the boy's hands, because at that point you just go into mommy mode. You know, you go into protection with the children there. And I just took their hands and I said, "Hey guys, let me let you guys go back in your room and let me, you know, find out what's going on with daddy." And as we're walking into the room, my youngest one goes, "Mommy, is daddy dead?" And I'm just like, oh, you know, because I didn't know, but I think I did know, because it was just so wrong, you know. And so anyway, I did come back in the room and found that he had died. And the rest of the day was just, honestly, absolute chaos. And I talk about that day in great detail in the book. And the first time I wrote the book, I didn't. And the second time I went through it and I added in probably 80% more to that day of my emotions and my thoughts and the things that happened that were just so surreal and so wrong. And I did that for a reason. I did it because I felt like if I could have the reader go through the experience with me as deeply as possible, that when what happened a couple days later happened, they would possibly be able to experience the shift that I also experienced. But I felt like they had to go as black as I went as possible first. So I go pretty dark. I mean, I have family members that have never read the book. I have family members that won't pick it up. I have family members that have read the first 30 pages and said, I just can't do it. I have friends that have said the same. Yet, I promise you, if you get to page 75, it's all worth it. Right, Gabe?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And I really would like to commend and acknowledge your courage for doing that, because I have never had a loss like that in my personal life in this lifetime yet. And I really understood when I was reading about, for example, you know, just like dealing with the police and dealing just dealing with all of the people in your life around this, and how it really just rocked your whole world. And it was such an intimate portrayal. I felt like reading your book, it was me experiencing that, like what that would have been like.
Yes, all the little details.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I wanted. That was really what I was going for. And you know, for on purpose. So, you know, as a warning, get your Kleenexes out for the first part of the book.
I will say that I cried many times. I knew obviously what your book was about, and I knew that it was going to be a very, it was going to be a book that was going to call forth some emotions in me. And I guess I wasn't prepared, but it was a good thing. for the reality that you brought to the situation and how you conveyed that, it was really wonderful. One thing that I was really kind of appalled by was how the some of the like police interactions and the medical interactions with you dealing with Mark's death. And it wasn't obviously appalled at the people. I was just kind of like, this is our system. Like this is how it works. Like someone dies and people just kind of forget you're a human and like ask you all these, you know, really bizarre, strange questions that like, I just can't imagine being able to answer at that time, you know,
right, so. Within hours of losing him. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. With, I mean, you know, they were here questioning me. I found him at 7 in the morning and they were here questioning me at 10, you know, and
jeez.
Yeah. And you know, they're like, you have to go with someone. We have to know where you are. I mean, because you know, it was an unexplained death of a person who was 49 years old. And so, you know, now it makes logical sense when it's happening. It was not logical, and your brain just does the weirdest things, you know, and I wanted to get that across, and it sounds like I did, at least for you. So.
Yes, most definitely. It was a really, really poignant and it was honest. That's what I felt. It was just very honest of what that would be like to actually experience that. And I was really grateful for you being willing to share that. And so it makes me really great to hear that you wrote the book once and then you went back and you rewrote it and added
a lot of
those details to let people know like what that is like and all of the, you know, people, or I got a window into your day to day, moment to moment experience of life after that. And you know, that I can't say that I have even read something like that before. So
yeah, well, great.
yeah. And so of course, after that, you're having to think about, you know, funeral, and they wanted to do an autopsy and organ donating and all of these decisions that I know you had a lot of help. You had so many family members just kind of like rush to support you and help you in this time of need.
Let me tell you, you know, there's losing someone quickly like that. Everyone jumps in. Everyone in your entire universe that has ever cared about you in any way is there for you, and they're there for you because they care about you, but they're also there for you because they would just want to do something. You know, they feel helpless. And, you know, it's interesting. Since Mark has passed away, I've dated, and, you know, I meet lots of divorced men just because having kids, you have that in common. And to me, I've found that many of the divorced men I have met lose most of their net of support in a divorce. Their friends, even some of their own family, if not all. And I've found that I just have such an empathy for them because for me, my gosh, the support was just life-saving. You know, it was life-saving because when you can talk to someone or when someone can just do the little thing for you that you just can't face doing, you can go on and you can take the next step forward. And I just, you know, whether it's death, divorce and death to me have a lot of similarities because it is truly a loss of a relationship.
Wow.
You know, and so to me, I feel like I wish it was different, but there's such a stigma on divorce, you know, and it's just, I don't know. I guess maybe I've never even talked about that before in an interview or anything, but I just saw for some reason it came up and I just feel like, you know, I hope people can be understanding and realize that it is that big of a loss for people and that they need that, you know? So those words needed to be said.
Thank you. Yeah. No. That's, it's so true. I know for me right now, that's really making me reflect upon that in a deeper way. You know, obviously I still had sympathy for people like that, but just to hear you talk about that and, you know, I kind of know where this conversation is headed. When you started to get messages from Mark, but yeah, that really was helpful for me to hear in terms of what you've experienced. So thank you really for sharing that. So, you know, all this stuff is going on, and you're kind of having to really be as strong as you possibly can at the moment in your life when you felt the weakest. And then you began to I'd love for you to talk about when you first started receiving messages from Mark, which I thought was so amazing. Like it was what you already written in the book before that is really cool, but then when you start having these encounters with his spirit, it was so beautiful, and I'd love for you just to kind of introduce that and talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Well, of course, there is the major turning point of the first true, for me, acknowledged conversation with him. However, I just want to acknowledge too that in the spiritual world, I think that, you know, he knew this was going to happen, or his spirit knew this was going to happen. And so there were things months in advance that that happened. And one of them, which I just wanted to mention, is about when I told my children about he had died. You remember that part?
Yes. And I was going to, this was one of the most beautiful things in the book. And I'd love to talk about it and go into detail. Cause this I think is one of the main parts of this whole book, you know?
Yeah. Well, the coincidence, you know, the speaking with him is one thing. It's a big, big part of it. But I think the coincidences and the ability to recognize the coincidences and when they happen in your life to say there's a reason for them, whether I know what they are or not, and then to really be aware and say, okay, pay attention right now. And so what I was going to talk about was that my children went over to my neighbor's house, and this was before I had told them that Mark actually had died, you know, that I had confirmed that I was an absolute disaster, and I knew I could not see them. So I ran to my neighbor's house when they were still in their room and grabbed her and brought her over, and she took them to her house, and I did not even let them see me. And then I had to go over there to get them. And, you know, so I had to deal with all the other stuff that happened, you know, the police and everything. And then when I went to get them, my thought was, oh, my God, how am I going to tell them this? You know, how do you destroy their reality and their world? Mm. You know, how do you do this? And when I was walking into the room, I remembered something that Connor, my older one, my 5-year-old at the time, had said to me about 4 or 5 days before. I was putting him in bed that night, and he said to me, "Hey, Mommy, I want to be one of the lucky ones."
Mm, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I said, oh, and, you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, no, what's that mean? And I said, what's that mean? And he said, Mommy, I want to die in my sleep. And I said, oh, I said, well, you know, and I didn't know where he got that from. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, Daddy, when he was taking us to school today, he said, lucky people die in their sleep. And I'm telling you, I mean, he died in his sleep 5 days later. Mark did.
Jeez.
You know, and I'm walking into the room where my children are playing at my neighbor's house, getting ready to tell them that he had died. And I remembered Connor's comment to me. And it just gave me the words, you know, it gave me, how are they going to understand this? And how is it going to be okay on some level? Because, you know, on another level, it's never okay.
Yeah.
But on some level, it made it okay because it came from Mark. I mean, I wasn't even in the car with him when he said it.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I was not there. And the fact that I learned that he had said it was, to me, meant to be.
Mm.
You know, it was meant to help me. And that was truly my first gift from him, was that he had said that and done that. And I was able to say to the children, you know, Daddy's one of the lucky people. That is how I said it to them.
Mm.
And they both looked at me, both of them, and said, Daddy died. Daddy died, with a question, you know. And I said, yeah. And the fact that a 3-year-old remembered that from his dad from five days before, who I did not talk to, Brandon, about it, my 3-year-old, only Connor, was amazing to me. And it really was a gift that Mark gave them right there at the end of his life. So anyway, those were, you know, those coincidences. I mentioned lots and lots of them in the book.
Yeah, you do.
And my life is still, I mean, since Mark died, I mean, I had coincidences before and I would see them, but they were big things. And since Mark died, I have just had, I mean, it's almost on a daily basis. I was sitting watching my kids at Kung Fu about 3 days ago, and we're getting ready to go on a trip out of the country. And I sat down and I talked to this woman I'd never met before. And through talking with her, she said she grew up in her hometown was the place where my parents live in California.
Huh.
This is a town of 3,500 people.
Wow.
This is a tiny town.
Yeah.
I looked at her and I said, what? And she said, yeah, that's where I grew up. I'm like, that's where my parents live. And she's like, really? And to me, what that was is that was like a glaring, blinking, flashing sign to me. Pay attention. Okay, mm-hmm. Pay attention. And I, instead of going to get gas that day, which is what I was going to do while they were in Kung Fu, I sat there and I talked to her the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of our conversation, we were talking about my trip, and she asked where I was going. And she said to me, I went there about a year ago. And she said, you know, it was really weird when we got there. This family was in front of us on the plane, and they had to get back on the plane and go back to the United States. And I was like, really? She goes, yeah. They were traveling with the dad and a girlfriend and 2 kids. And because they didn't have a notarized letter from the mother that it was okay for the kids to leave the country, they had to come back.
Huh.
Regardless of having passports. Well, I found out I did not take a copy of the death certificate of my husband that would have happened to me.
Mm, wow.
Two days from now.
Wow.
Yes. So coincidences to me are just, they are just like anything, even tiny little things. I try and pay attention because to me, that conversation was supposed to happen, and I was supposed to get that information so that that wouldn't happen to us. I mean, that would have been a horrible start to our trip, you know?
Yeah, that would not have been fun.
Why ride home?
Yeah,
so anyway,
exactly.
Yeah, so the coincidences are huge, and they're just something that have happened more and more and more as I've been open to them and as I pay attention to them and I acknowledge them and really listen. So they happen all over the place, and I think they happen to everyone. And I think if we acknowledge them, they happen more, and they happen just, you know, perfectly, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. So I know you, in your book, you, when you started receiving messages from Mark, it sounded like there was a part of you that at least at first didn't believe that. That was like, is this really happening? Like, is this, and is this real, or like, am I imagining it? And I know a lot of people, myself included, have had experiences like that where, yeah, where someone or something, is, you know, we can hear them talking word for word in our head.
Right.
And, I loved how you described that process of like, of basically accepting that, yeah, you had a new relationship with him now, that even though,
yes,
that even though he had no longer had a body, he was still very able to communicate. And in fact, I don't remember exactly what he said. Maybe you can state what he said, but he stated something along the lines of, like, I'm more available to,
yes,
to show up, to be with you, to be as I really truly am without any of my ego.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think, I don't remember the exact words he used, but I'm glad that you said it like that, because that is the, you know, that's the gist of it. It was something along the lines of, I wasn't capable of being this for you when I was in a body, because I had all the stuff of this world. And when you get all the stuff of this world in the way, it's impossible to be 100%. I say impossible, and maybe it's possible, but it's difficult to be 100% unconditional love to another being.
I agree. All the time.
Yes. And what it taught me was, I think that there's glimpses of when we're capable of it, and that we can practice it and we can get better and better at it. And that having experienced it with him on every topic, every level, every emotion after he passed away, it kind of taught me what it actually is.
Mm.
You know, what is unconditional love? And unconditional love is, I love you. I want for you what you want.
That's beautiful. I've never actually had it termed that way.
Yes.
Wow.
I want for you what you want. It has nothing to do with me. Unconditional love is, you want what they want. You want for them what they want.
Mm.
Oh. So, I mean, that's just, you know, and I've been learning that lesson in relationships, not just romantic relationships, but also relationships with my children and family and friends. And, you know, it's something that is a constant learning curve in my life is, you know, am I asking them to do this for me? Am I asking them to do this because it's what I want? I want my child to be good. I want my child to blah, blah, blah. And the point is that unconditional love for them is, yes, you, as a parent, you must make sure they can operate in this world. But at the same time, you have to be careful about what kind of expectations you put on them and what kind of life you create for them. And I prefer at this point to give them an environment where they are picking a lot of their own life and at the same time learning lessons, but, you know, just growing in their own spirit, growing. And with a child, it's one thing. And then with an adult, it's a different thing. A friend or family, it's very, very different. And, you know, so it's, I don't know, it makes life rich. It really does, you know, to be working on that on myself all the time, you know?
Oh gosh. Absolutely. Absolutely. One of my favorite quotes, I think a lot of people have said it, is if you're not growing, you're dying, you know,
there's no
stasis.
Yes, that's right. There's no stable. It's all moving one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So back to communicating with Mark.
Yes. I was a little shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I was a little shocked. The first time I look back now, it's so funny because I wrote the book, I published the book, and then one day I was driving down the road. It was like 6 months after it was out, and I was like, oh my gosh, what I've always thought of as the first time not only wasn't the first time, but I even wrote about the first time in the book, you know? And I'm thinking, whoa, okay, that's kind of crazy. And, you know, the true first time was the jewelry store.
Mm.
Because he said to me, get a certain piece of jewelry. And that was prior to that night. That was prior to that night.
That was, I remember that. You were with your mom, right?
Yes, I was with my mom. So, you know, when he first, the major one where, you know, he shared with me why he chose to go. And I'm not going to say that here because I feel like that is a vital, vital piece of a person's transition when they read the book.
Okay.
So I don't like to share what he exactly told me other than he told me why he chose to leave this earth. And when he did that, it was such a profoundly uncanny thing that could have happened in my life, and so wrong based on my own experience, mm-hmm. that I knew it had to be true. It had to be something from outside of me. Now, people have asked me, do you believe it for sure that it was Mark? Do you know for sure it was Mark? Or, you know, is it something else? Is it God? Is it the universe? Is it, you know, something else? And my answer to that is always, I always say, well, of course, how can I know for sure that it is Mark? Because, you know, my therapist is like, well, it might be your mind, you know, creating creating a response for you that makes sense, that makes this all fit together, that makes your life work. And my answer to that, though, is the only one that could ever know is me.
Yeah.
And the way that it came across and the tone that it was, and it could have been anything. And in my world, it was Mark. And, you know, I have another website where I actually teach courses about how to speak with a lost loved one.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes. And it's called letthelightinjen.com. And in those courses, the main point of the entire first section, which is 25% of the entire course, is talking about beliefs, mm-hmm. and talking about what do you believe? Because I absolutely believe after all the people I've talked to after this happened to me, every single person alive has the ability to speak with a lost loved one. Yeah. I truly have 100% faith in that. And I think a lot of people have done it and either don't talk about it or they do talk about it and they don't believe it, or they just flip to, oh, that's not possible. But they've actually done it. And they just don't recognize it or acknowledge it or believe it. And those three things are huge. Recognizing it, you know, for me, it was a voice. It was a voice in my head. Nobody else would have heard it, even if they were standing there in the room with me. But it was a different voice. It was not my voice. And I talked to myself in my head, you know, but it was not my voice. It was coming from something else. And it was not my words. And the words that came were a surprise to me. They were a shock to me.
Mm.
And so to me, that was validation that it wasn't me. But I really believe that believing you have the ability and knowing what to look for and knowing what to expect is a huge, huge, huge part of being able to have those types of conversations. I mean, it's really everything, you know? So anyway, it was a magical experience. It was, quite, surreal and just shocking. And, you know, it led to a whole new life for me, really. You know, it really did. So it gave me peace almost instantly about his death. It's given lots and lots of other people peace about his death as well as about other people's death. You know, I wasn't planning on writing a book. Mm. My best friend, who I do mention in the book, her name is Tab. She lives in California and she works at an emergency room. And about 3 months after Mark had died, I had told her right after he died what was happening about him speaking to me and what he had said. And she just got chills and she's like, oh my gosh, that sounds just like Mark. And of course that's right. And she then could tell why I was doing okay, you know, a week after he died. Mm-hmm. And she called me about 3 months later and she said, hey, you know, I work in an emergency room and I meet people every single day that are either going to die or have just lost someone or are going to lose someone. She said, it's just part of my work. She said, and I've been telling people your story. And she said, and you would not believe the peace and the shift I see on their faces. And she said, you have got to write a book because I can't tell everybody. And I'm like, what? I'm not going to write a book about this. Are you crazy? So, you know, I think that I was supposed to write the book, you know, and because I've had so many people say what it's done for them and, you know, people, whether or not they've lost someone, it's really made a significant difference in their life. You know, I had a woman do an interview with me, on Monday and she literally said to me, I'm obsessed with you. And I thought, gosh, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. But what she meant is that the book had such a profound effect on her life. And she's a mom. She's married. She's happily married. She loves her career. She loves her kids. Her life is great. And she has been giving my book to everybody. And, you know, for her, it's changed her marriage. For her, it's changed her relationship with her children. And she said, this is a woman who has studied A Course in Miracles, Abraham Hicks. I mean, all sorts of stuff for decades. And she said to me, this book taught me something that none of those did. And I mean, when she said that to me, I was so honored because, you know, I have also learned about those things and heard about those things and studied some of those things. But even to be put in the same paragraph with them, I was like, oh my gosh, wow. You know, and because it was just my experience. So I just was literally sharing my experience. And what it came to was, you know, I told her, I said, I think one of the reasons it has an effect on people is because I'm very logical. I'm very down to earth. I'm very, you know, I'm basically a soccer mom, except it's kung fu. And, you know, I mean, and a lot of people identify with that part of me, you know, and therefore, when I had these other things happen that most people would not normally talk about, and I do so openly, it makes it, it's like this crack. It's like, and it's okay now. And I think for her, that was a big part of it. You know, it was just because she identified with my life so much that it really shifted her. So I think it can affect anyone and everyone.
I think so too, and I think that the lessons that are sprinkled throughout your book, they're so simple. Which you know, I believe that all truth is really simple. It's not complex. It's really, really easy. And I loved that that was a big part of your journey is you learning some really powerful truths about your life. And then you just shared them. And, I was really impressed with that. I had figured you're probably going to share something, but you know, obviously he wrote a book. So, but I was pleasantly surprised as to how this book affected me. I'd love to talk real briefly about just my favorite part of the book. I mean, I don't like to do favorites, but one part that affected me so much was actually the chapter called The Flight.
Yay!
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love it when people have that as their favorite part.
Yeah. Yeah. I was reading it last night, and I'd love to read just a little excerpt from that I felt was so profound for me. So just to set it up for people, you were flying to a wedding of your cousin, right?
Is that true?
Okay. You're were you flying to California? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you're flying to California for a wedding, and you were on the plane, and you basically Mark kind of came to you, right? He kind of came to you and was asking you, like, how are you? Like, he wanted to know how you were.
Right.
And you kind of started talking, and I think he asked you a question, something like, what's the difference between, you know, you and I? And basically, you deduced that, you know, you have a body and he doesn't. He's like, yes. And then basically he shared this bit of wisdom with you that I thought was so profound. And I just want to read this part. So this is what Mark was saying to Jennifer on the plane. Listen closely. If you take this in and live it, it has the ability to change your life and all of the lives you touch. It will free you. I couldn't imagine what he was going to say, but I was all ears. The entire point of having a body and being alive on Earth is to experience your body. I didn't really get what he was saying until he added, the only thing you need to do is see, smell, touch, taste, listen, and feel your feelings. That's all. Do those things and you will live an extraordinary life. It's that simple. And then after that, you write about your experience of just kind of calling that in. And you were sitting in the chair on the plane with your eyes closed, and you could feel the seat behind you and the arm, you know, and the armrest, Connor's arm, and just the gum in your mouth, and you looked around at all the people and listened to what they were saying and what happened. I want to read this little excerpt too. This is what you felt while that was happening. A huge wave of emotion rushed through my heart. Life was so alive. It was overwhelming. I felt held by the world around me. I felt connected. This was incredible. Only moments before, I would have said nothing special was going on around me. I would have felt alone. Tears started to run down my face, tears of relief. I didn't have to think all the time. I didn't have to be doing something all of the time. Life was meant to be experienced. The thinking and doing were just extra work that got in the way of experiencing. Tension, worry, and fear were washing off me in waves. I closed my eyes and focused on Mark. My God, thank you. He said, now you can really live. So,
yeah,
that just for me was so powerful. You had also been guided to read the book A New Earth, which I know many of us, by Eckhart Tolle, many of us know that he talks about that so much, about just being and just feeling and just being present with where you're at with all your senses. And when I read that piece in that book, something in me clicked that had read A New Earth however many years ago.
Right.
And it was like, oh yeah, remember? That's so important. And I began to feel my feelings and just be really present. And I had kind of a similar experience that you had. I was kind of like alone and like separate. And and then once I did that, I really felt alive. And so I just want to thank you for obviously including that, it's a pretty, you know, incredible part of the book, but
yeah.
Just thank you for living that. I feel like you live that way, and from that point on in the book, it really seemed like that was kind of a turning point. Like you really began to feel your feelings and I think heal. That's yeah. What I would say.
Yeah. You know, and I think, yes, absolutely. You know, it was a turning point. It was a big deal. It was, and I love it when people pick that up as a major point because, you know, it's so important and it's something that, you know, we read about in different readings and it just gets, oh yeah, that's right. And then, you know, the next day it's gone, you know, it's gone and people don't remember it. And it's something that is so easy because it's with us at any moment of the day.
Yeah.
You know, it's just right there. It is always there. And so it's something that for me has not only made me help me heal, but it's also helped me lose a lot of the fears in my life. You know, whether it be something about business or whether it be something about a relationship or whether it be something about my children, the fears have just been they, like I said, they wash away because if we're here to experience our body and all the rest is just extra, then everything's okay. Everything's okay. You know, even if you have health issues, you can still experience those things and you still, it's still capable. And so, you know, it makes it like I watched my kids do a zip line last weekend at a fair at their school. And I, my first, you know, as a parent and as a human being, they're up there 20 feet in the air on this little swing. And I'm going, oh my God, you know, what if they fall? And the next thought is, okay, breathe and feel the sunshine on my body right now. And watch them, experience them in their joy as they go down this zip line. Because if they fall, they were supposed to fall, right? Mm. And if they, and if not, regardless, be in the moment. Don't be worried about them falling. Because those thoughts just pull you out of yourself. They pull you out so easily and so quickly and so consistently that it's hard to really live. And man, standing there feeling the sun on my back and watching them on that zip line, that is forever etched in me now.
Mm. Wow.
And I don't think it would have been quite so much without that experience of the book, in the book about, you know, the what's important. So it affects everything.
Yeah.
It does.
And that's one of, again, that's one of the, you know, very simple truths is that, gosh, yes, we, that's why we have a body. That's like why I believe like we came to incarnate. It's like, otherwise, why would I want to incarnate? Why would I like, why, if that was not what I was supposed to be doing here, like why even bother?
Right.
Just exactly. Float around and be a spirit and like,
exactly.
You know, do something else.
Yeah, so, exactly.
You know, I think sometimes, especially, especially like sometimes spiritual people, I'm going to speak for myself. Sometimes I can forget that and get my head very wrapped up in spiritual things, which is nice.
Yes.
But the reality is that it's much more powerful if I can just be present and be in my body and look and see and smell and taste and feel and experience the richness that is life than trying to conceptualize another way to do that. Like it's just,
yeah, yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's a no brainer.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you got it.
But it can be easy to forget, like, especially in our culture when there's like TV and commercials and like all this like stuff that,
Yeah.
Or just the drama, if you will, of our lives. It can be easy. It can be easy to create that, to create not doing that as a habit. But it can also be easy to create it as doing that as a habit too. So,
well, I think that the best thing is if you can have it be fun.
Yeah. Yay for fun.
So, yeah. And, so. You know, and, play with it as much as you can. And,
yeah.
You know, and whether it's in tough times, and whether it's when you're worried and you play with it, or maybe it's when you're excited and you play with it, like, make that even better by when you're excited, looking around and taking more of it in than you thought you were. You know, so to me, it's about really just, you know, God, we are so serious nowadays, and it's so much about, you know what I mean? I mean, yeah. We are, and I am including myself in that. You know, I am not beyond this body at this point. You know, and so it's just, I mean, life is about experiencing these things and finding the joy in it, and having it be fun, and having it be light, and having it be just, you know, just that's what it's all about, you know. So, you know, we don't have to think about it. It's just play with it, you know. And to me, that is the best. The more you play with it, the more you're going to enjoy it. The more you're going to enjoy your life. The more you're going to have things happen that are just miracles all over the place. Mm. Because that kind of energy pulls it all in.
Mm.
You know.
And I think too. That's a big part of why we have Christmas and this holiday time is to, at least for me, like to remember that, to remember to experience the richness of enjoying delicious food and being around people I love, and right. and reminding myself that life is amazing and that it's magical. And that's why, you know, I think, well, at least for me, this time of year is so magical and powerful for me, is because I want to be reminded of that, like, because that's the truth.
Yes, absolutely. No, it's a perfect time. Mm. You know, it's a perfect time to talk about that stuff, because it really is. You know, some people get so crazy busy in the presents and all that stuff and the decorations. And yet, I mean, my kids, they would laugh at me because we drive up to our house and there's no decorations on the outside. We got stuff. They each have a little tree of their own that they decorated, and that's it. And they're like, Mommy, how come all the other neighbors have the lights and we don't? And I'm like, we're focusing on the inside this year. And I laugh at myself because, you know, as a spiritual person, we're going to focus on the inside this year, boys. And you know, and I get so, but, you know, you got to slow down and you got to just stop and enjoy it. And you know, the other day I was in horrible traffic, and I'm like, wow, this is horrible traffic. And I'm like, let me see what I can do about that. And I'm like, what's it feel like in my body to be in this really bad traffic? And where's my, you know, what am I looking at around here that I'm not seeing? Look around, see what I'm not seeing. You know, what sounds different? What are the sounds I can hear that are different? And I'm not joking. Within 1 minute, there was no more traffic.
What? Whoa.
And it is that powerful.
Wow.
It is that powerful.
Wow.
It really is a gift. I just have to say, it's something that, you know, everyone can use. It's so simple, and just be there more. And the more and more you do it, the more and more you will do it. You know, and you know, there's times I forget, lots of them. You know, I'm a mom. I yell at my kids. I have to say, you know, I'm not always there. You know, but it's people like you, Gabe, that are bringing this, you know, even having these interviews for me is always a great reminder. And it's always a great reset the clock and bring it back and refresh it. And, you know, and it's such a wonderful thing. And what you're doing is just, you're helping the world. And so, you know, keep doing it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate that. I definitely will. Yeah, most definitely. So we just have a few more minutes here, and I'd love to ask you a couple more questions.
Sure.
I know in the book you talk about this other man that sort of came in your life, and it was surprising. I mean, I wasn't anticipating that was going to be a conversation
right.
in the book. I just wasn't.
Right.
And I think you yourself were like, you know, you're calling your friends and asking them, like, should I be having feelings?
Right.
You know, like, ah, like, and I would feel, you know, I can't even imagine what that would feel like. But I'd love for you to share just a couple, you know, a little bit around that. I know in the beginning of the show, you mentioned, you know, you'd started dating, and like, I just would love to hear how, that experience is going for you now, and just like, yeah, just this like dating after, you know, this tragedy, which happened, gosh, just, you know, almost 4 years ago, roughly.
Yeah. February will be 4 years. Well, you know, I think that the man in the book, that I ended up just, you know, falling for, really, yeah, to be blatantly honest, like I try to do, was there for a reason. And it was not for us to be together. It was for me to realize that that part of me would go on past my husband.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that man was instrumental in that happening. And he was, I think, willing, you know, to kind of, you know, we never really went really very far with the relationship beyond friendship. But he was so willing to be there for me. And it was, you know, it was hugely in part because of his love for Mark. He knew my husband before. He knew my husband before I knew my husband.
Wow.
You know, years before I knew my husband. And his love for my husband was also his love for me and our children. And, you know, he was essential in my healing as well. And, you know, after him, I met someone else, and I dated them for a while. And, you know, it's dating in your 40s, just period, is different than dating in your 20s. So, you know, it's just, it's a whole different ballgame. I mean, for me, I am not actually really dating right now, because I am not over that man.
Mm.
And we broke up over a year ago. And I tried to date after him and realized I was kind of dating to protect myself.
Yeah.
And so I'm not now. And I find that I have to be with different emotions because I'm not putting Band-Aids on the wound.
Mm, good for you.
You know? And so I don't know where it will ever go or if it will ever go. And I'm not the thing for me that I'm always working on in romantic relationships is letting go. It's really letting go.
Yes.
It is loving them unconditionally doesn't mean I want what I want. It means I want what they want. And that's really, really, really hard sometimes. And it's really hard when the timing's off. It's really hard when you're just not in the same place. It's hard in many, many different situations. But I think it's a lesson in patience. It's a lesson in knowing yourself and taking care of yourself so that you have the ability to want for them what they want.
Yeah.
So, you know, lots of lessons in those relationships.
Yes, they are a doorway of transformation, aren't they?
Absolutely. Like exponential growth. Yes,
call up like anything that's in the shadow there that needs to be dealt with and healed, and
yeah,
you know,
they show up right in our faces, don't they?
Right. Whatever we don't want to face is like, oh, okay, great. I get to face it. Awesome. Like, yay,
but aren't we? You know, we should be just so grateful for them as mirrors.
Right. I know.
I mean, you know, seriously, because without it, you know, one by themselves, it's hard to learn lessons because you are spiritually just incredibly amazing. And if there's nothing else around you to bounce off or to compare or to whatever, you don't get to see what you are, and you don't get to have lessons, and you don't get to have growth. And so to me, a relationship, especially a romantic relationship, is one of the fundamental parts of deep, deep, deep spiritual growth, because you love them so much. You love them as you love yourself in ways. And so there's as much learning there as there is, I think, sometimes with children, which is also another
that is
big learning
love.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, so life is fun.
Absolutely. So in our last few minutes here, I want to ask you this, and I feel like probably every interview probably asks you this, but I'd love to hear from you what you believe is I don't want to say the greatest gift, but what are some of the most powerful things that you feel that this whole experience with your husband of 8 years, Mark, passing away, what did you permanently take away from that experience? How did it change you?
Right. I would say that the permanent changes, I mean, it's okay. This is going to sound like a funny answer, but it's true. I have an office in my house that I work from, and I look out my windows every day, and I look at trees. That's, mm-hmm. I don't see any houses. I don't see anything else except for trees because I'm on the second floor. Mm. And I cannot tell you how many times since Mark died, I look at those trees, and they're different for me. Huh. They are living, alive, glowing light. And they're a constant reminder to me that that's what we are.
Mm.
That people are that. That is, people are light and people are energy. And everything around us is energy. Because the communication with Mark is simply the mixing of those energies. And so, you know, I look at those trees and it's like, okay, yeah, I remember that we're energy. We're not thoughts. We're not this other stuff. So our true self is that. We have these bodies, and these bodies are why we're here on this planet doing this, whatever we're doing, but that we are really light. And it's funny to me that trees remind me of that, but for some reason they do. And, you know, I tell people I even look at trees differently, but I've never explained it like that before.
Mm.
But, you know, when you can remember that people are light, when you're talking to someone and you don't agree with them, you can catch yourself. And instead of disagreeing with them or being judgmental with them, you can hear them.
Mm.
And you can see that they are light and I am light, and that the connection here is I'm letting them be them. So that, I mean, really, there's so many lessons. You know, there's so many lessons from losing someone. But really, you know, we've talked about a lot of the biggies on this interview.
Yeah.
But it's just life is so different. Life really is different. And, you know, it's wonderful. And, you know, that's the thing. You know, people are like, how are you doing? And they're kind of nervous to ask me that. Or how are your kids doing? And the answer is amazing.
Yes.
You know, it's incredible. And so are my kids. And yeah, they miss their dad and they talk about him and we talk about him. And yes, I miss the physical relationship with my husband, but you know, our lives are just incredible. And every day I'm so grateful to be here and I'm so grateful to be sharing it with every single person I run into in my life,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I don't know. I thought I was happy before, but I don't know that I knew what happiness was.
Wow. That in itself is, I think, probably the greatest gift anyone can receive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So where can people order a copy of your book, Jen?
Oh, best place. You can get it on Amazon. It's called The Gift Giver. And you can also get it on my website, which is thegiftgiverbook.com. So those are the places you can get it. If you order it from my website, it comes directly from me. I mail it to you and I sign it. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So if you order from Amazon, it's a little tougher, but if you order from me, you get a signed copy. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just want to say to all the listeners, you know, if this interview resonated with you, I really, personally, strongly encourage you to get the book and to read it. It was very profound for me in ways that I wasn't expecting. I knew it was going to be a good book even before I read it, and yeah, if you feel in any way inclined to read it, or if anything we talked about resonated with you, I would just really strongly encourage you to go and purchase it. So Jennifer Hawkins, thank you for being on the show today. I'm so grateful to spend this hour with you and to delve deeper into this amazing experience that is your life. I feel really privileged and honored to just know you a little bit better. And I've got to say, like, I don't know what's next for you, but if it involves a book, I'm looking forward to it. just going to, like, say that without any expectation, because I want the best. I want what you want. So
how about a movie? That's what I want.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Gabe.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. And thank you so much to you who tuned in today and listened to the show. This is you are the reason why we're doing this, why we're talking today. So thank you so much for listening and for your support. It really means the world. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for you listening, for everything that we're all doing as a human race to really create this new earth together. And this new era that, gosh, in just a few days, the 21st of December, we will be entering. And so, with that, my darlings, I bless you with love, and gratitude, and just want to remind you, especially after everything we talked about today, that it truly is indeed all perfect.
Realms Radio, where spirit rocks.